Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, how great you are. How wonderful you are. And Lord, it's by your grace and mercies that we're even allowed to be here at this time. Lord, we give you honor. Lord, help us to give you honor this week by the way we live for you. Lord, may we walk as the early church walked in fear of you. I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word this morning. And Lord, that you'll speak to the church. Lord, may we have a sense of awe-ness of you again. And I ask it all in the name that's above all names, and that's the name of our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and that's Jesus. Amen. Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 31. As we're looking at this verse of being in Acts 9:31 church. And it reads this: Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. This morning, the churches walked in the fear of the Lord. This word walked in this phrase means their lifestyle. It was the way that they lived. They lived in the fear of the Lord. They walked in it. They gave God reverential awe and respect, He's holy, and they walked in life giving God respect and reverence, not by the way they just come together on Sundays, but they walked in it. They lived in it. It's a very dangerous attitude and lifestyle if you are a Christian, if you live this way, to say, I love to sin and God loves to forgive. That is a very dangerous attitude for a person to have. This walking in the fear of the Lord is realizing that we walk daily with the Almighty. He is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful, the all-knowing. And He is always present. And it's walking and living, realizing who you are, who I am, and just who God really is. It amazes me that if there was a sports hero or a great well-known sports figure or a well-known movie star, if they were present and were speaking, and if you paid money to listen, you would hold it. You'd be leaning on every word that they would say. Here we are worshiping our Creator. In public worship of the one who has saved us by grace. Don't you think He deserves that more respect than a sports figure or a movie star? It's not respect of me. We're here to worship God. By the way, when we're singing praises to His name, you know what that's called? That's worship. We're singing to the Lord. The preaching and teaching of God's Word from the pulpit to the Sunday school classroom is teaching with God's holy Word. And God speaks through His Word. Amen? I'm not saying we ought to come together and you're not allowed to talk or fellowship. Sweet koinonia is important to the church. I grew up in a church and I loved the people. I was a preacher, one of the youngest preacher's son. I was the baby of the church. Man, you can, you know, have fun with that. But one Sunday in particular, we were sitting in church, and for some reason, I was actually sitting by my mother and by my sister, which is unheard of back then. And Miss Betty Hudnell, this was a church in Nebo, United Baptist Church. Miss Betty Hudnell was sitting right in front of us. We were sitting about where Brother Roland, Miss Devin are. And Miss Betty Hudnell must have not ate breakfast. And her stomach started growling. And not only did it growl, it started talking. Well, to an 11-year-old boy, you know what I started doing? I started laughing. And my sister, she heard it. She started laughing. You know, you know how hard it is not to laugh in church when something's funny. You're not supposed to laugh at that time. So my mama saw us giggling. We were playing in church. And what a good mother did back then with those long fingernails, she grabbed my arm like this. You know how a cat can pat you and then put the claws to you? That's what my mama did. Grabbed my arm, set me down on the other side of her. Because me and my sister was laughing. Then Miss Betty Hudnell's stomach, not only was it talking then, it was screaming, I guess. It was loud. You know what my mama started doing? She started giggling. All this in church, where you're supposed to be reverent and in awe of God, she started giggling. And my daddy was preaching away. And he saw all of us giggling. And he walks behind that great big old pulpit and goes like this. Then he starts preaching again. He thought we were laughing at him. He thought his pants was undone. This is a true story of a memory I have in church. Folks, we are a church family, amen? And we love each other. You may not know that I like being around y'all. Did y'all know that? Don't you like being around each other? And sometimes things are funny. Sometimes things are... We're walking on holy ground, and we need to know the difference when we're walking on holy ground and we're here to just have a good time with each other. We're on holy ground when we're worshiping God. I believe Jesus laughed probably more than we did about things. Read about some of the things he said. They're funny. Okay? And yet, the early church walked in the fear of the Lord. I believe what you see people do and how they act here is just a glimpse of how they are all week. If you're disrespectful and all that in worship, how are you living your life? This word walk is their lifestyle. Their whole life was in the fear of the Lord. Now, what does this mean? To walk in the fear of the Lord. I have a statement here that speaks of walking in the fear of the Lord. You will serve who you fear. We will serve who we fear. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. The conclusion, fear God, keep His commandments. When you fear God, you will serve Him. You will keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. So when we give God His proper place in our lives, the King of all, we will serve Him. We will fear Him and keep His commandments. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says this, No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God in riches. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot have two masters. You see, which one do you fear? If your fear is to lose your money, then you're going to serve your money. If your fear is the recognition of the world, then you're going to serve that instead of serving God. And it's where your heart is. So the one you fear is the one you will serve. The wisdom literature of the Bible, one of them, the book of Proverbs, speaks a lot of the fear of God. Most of us can quote this. The fear of God is what? Come on, church. It's the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of God comes with many promises of God. It is the very beginning of wisdom. Why is that? Because the one you fear will be the one you will do what? Serve and keep His commandments. That's the beginning of wisdom. And the very wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. You'll love Him and serve Him. To know God, you must know Jesus Christ. The one you fear will be the one you will serve. The Bible says, do not fear the one. Jesus says, do not fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell. And the only person that can do that is God. That's who we are to fear. That is the one whom we are to serve. Also, the fear of the Lord is not to be scared of God. Not to be scared of God. The fear of the Lord is actually full of promises. When we fear Him and we're serving Him, we have several promises that we can stand upon. It's full of promises. The fear of the Lord, though, is to be terrified of being away from Him. The fear of the Lord is being terrified of just the thought of not being in the presence of God. That should be a horrific thought for you and I. An example, in the Old Testament, a man named Samson the strongest man, killed the Philistines right and left, killed thousands of them. He was so strong he could pick the city gates of Gaza up and pick them up and go set them up on a hill. That's strong. But what gave him the strength? I don't believe he looked like Goliath. I believe he was a normal looking man, but he had strength because his strength came from God. You see, if it's something that you can do on your own strength, God can't have glory. But his strength was to give God glory. He was a judge of God's people. But what did Samson do? He gave himself over to sin. Delilah cut his hair. His strength wasn't the hair. His strength was from God and disobedience was his downfall. And the Bible specifically states this about Samson. He got up. She said, "Samson, the Philistines are here." He gets up and he shakes himself. And he said, "I will go out as all the times before." And the Bible specifically says, but the Spirit of God had departed from him and he didn't know it. Didn't even realize it because of disobedience time and time again and over again. He disobeyed God. He did not fear God. He disobeyed, did not obey God. And I wonder, how about us? Can we sing the songs? Sing three songs and take up an offering? Can we hear a sermon and not a message? Can we listen to a preacher instead of listening to what God is saying through His Word? Can we do all of that and be so full of disobedience, not realizing that we're not in the very presence of God? We're out of fellowship so far that we don't even know it because of sin. It's to be terrified of not being in His presence. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6 says this, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." James chapter 4 verse 8 says this, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Clench your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So humbling ourselves before Him. Repenting of sin. How can we cleanse our ways? By asking God to forgive us and to live in His presence. Humbling ourselves, and a promise is what? God will draw near to us. That's a promise of God. God cannot lie. Amen. The fear of God. Many times, if we're not careful, we can be like the warning that Paul gave Timothy. He wrote against a falsehood that if we're not careful, we can fall into. And it's a heretical thing to fall into. Paul said that in the latter days, he goes through a list of things how people will be: lovers of themselves, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. And he says this, and it's a terrifying statement. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Can it be that because of unbelief and disobedience of what God says, that people can have ritual and ceremony and be very religious and not have the presence of God in their lives? That's what he's saying. A form of godliness, but denying the power. How can we live godly? How can we walk by faith? How can we walk in the fear of God? By relying on his presence. God in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. We can do it through his power and strength, and realizing that if you have been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you are the temple of God. God is in you. And you have the presence of God in your life through his power and strength. We can walk by faith. Here's an example that we are given in the New Testament about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to invite you to turn there with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And here's a statement. Holy fear gives God the place of glory, honor, reverence, thanksgiving, praise, and preeminence he deserves. The fear of God, holy fear, gives God the place of glory and honor, reverence, thanksgiving, praise, and preeminence. First place in all that we have and do and are that he deserves. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to what this scripture is teaching us. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud by day and the fire pillar by night was the presence of God with his people as the Israelites left Egypt and was in the wilderness. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Why did Moses not enter in the promised land? He struck who? The rock. And that rock represented Christ. And Moses, the leader, who stood against Pharaoh and talked to God from the burning bush, and great Moses could not enter in, because he struck the rock. Verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. They had the presence of God, the cloud and the fire. The Red Sea opened up. All of that. They ate manna from heaven, ate quail. God nourished them and blessed them. And their shoes did not even wear out for 40 years. How much God took care of them. But most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are unable. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This is talking about committing sin, not burdens in life. We misquote that often. But all these things happen to them as our examples, how we are to give God His rightful place and not be idolaters and serve something else and fear something else rather than God. Because whom you fear will be who you serve. And an idol can be many things. Today in the United States, they're just blatant right out idolatry of all the Greek and pagan myths and God statues everywhere you look. But an idol to a Christian is more than that. Anything you serve other than God is what? An idol. It's an idol. Verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from it. Is it because you're scared of the idol? You read on in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I can eat meat given to an idol, and it would not affect me, because I can ask God to bless that meat, but I will not eat it, because it may cause someone else to stumble, because I fear God. He wasn't scared of an idol. He feared God. He feared God. And he served God. They walked. It was their lifestyle. And the Spirit of God indwells us. And an example of the allness of God is when Isaiah, after King Uzziah had died, Isaiah was down, and he went to the temple to pray. And in the temple, he saw the Lord of hosts high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And you know what he saw? He saw the mighty creatures of God, the seraphims. And these are mighty angels, and they were giving God praise and we're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they covered their face with some wings, and they flew with two wings, and they covered their body with wings, and they were worshiping and crying out to the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, in reverential awe. And when Isaiah saw it, he fell down and worshiped and said, I am a man of uncleanness. Did you know you yourself can be an idol? When you think you can be acceptable to God apart from the precious blood of Jesus, you're the idol. Because when you put God in his rightful place and you really fear God, you know you're nothing before a holy God. And you need a Savior. You can be the idol. Holy fear gives God the place of glory, honor, reverence, thanksgiving, praise, and preeminence he deserves. One last statement. The fear of the Lord is to tremble in his presence and tremble at his word. In his presence and at his word. You see, grace without fear of God is a false grace. Love without the fear of God is a false love. It's an idolatry. John the Apostle. Wrote the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. The aged apostle. A leader in the early church wrote Revelation. God unveiled eternity and showed it to John for our benefit. John, who was one of the three, the inner circle of Jesus. John at the Last Supper leaned on Jesus. That's how close he was. John, who believed that Jesus rose from the grave when all he saw was the empty grave. John, an aged apostle, was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the island of Patmos. And while he was in the Spirit praying and worshiping, someone spoke to him with a voice as many waters, like thunder. And he looks up to see who spoke. And it was the one who walked in the midst of the lampstands among the churches. He said his hair was like wool. His eyes like balls of fire. He saw the glorified Christ. Feet like brass. And John, when he saw the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who holds the keys of all authority, John fell down before him as if he was dead. It wasn't no buddy-buddy. It wasn't a grandpa who'll just let you do anything you want to do. But he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he fell down before him in worship and in awedness of being in his presence. Folks, we got to walk in that in these days in which we live. I'm not saying to be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good, but we need to walk in the fear of God because God is in you as a believer. Those of you who are not saved, quit being the idol and receive Christ. I don't know how to say it any other way. You need Jesus. Because you're going to see this, what John described someday. That's who you'll see at the great white throne. Let's pray. Lord. God, it's a horrific thought to have a form of godliness and not have you. Oh, how we need you. Without you, we're nothing. God, may we truly fear you and walk in your ways. Love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. May it be for your glory. Amen.